Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
The president's position on the Defense of Marriage Act has been consistent. He has long opposed it as unnecessary and unfair.
It is very different than the position he took during the campaign when he said he did not support same-sex marriage and, in fact, supported traditional marriage of man and woman.
You know what, man? I got my hope in Jesus Christ, buddy. And when you have hope on hand, you know, you can't be emotional about it. It's part of negotiation with the Cardinals. I have so much respect for this organization.
When we went back to Reform Christianity, we went back to the disciples, the apostles. If you want to go back to the beginning roots of Islam, you got to go back to Muhammad, who was not a peaceful man.
And Derek, the tea guy from Seward, Nebraska, who drives his truck through Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan, and I rock Issues Etc. the whole way.
Well, I don't know that this has ever come up in the United States. It's a subject we're going to take up here in a few minutes with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse. There's a couple in Great Britain, a Pentecostal couple, by the way, who had applied locally to be what we would call foster parents. Well, there was some concern expressed by a social worker that this couple did not approve of the homosexual lifestyle. And believe it or not, a high court in Great Britain ruled that they ought not to be foster parents for that reason and that reason alone. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for joining us live this Wednesday, March the 2nd. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute will take up that subject along with the president's refusal to defend DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, here in the first few minutes of the program. A little bit later, we're going to hear from you, our listeners, on the Issues Etc. comment line. And then we're going to round off today's program talking with Mark Pearson. Going through some responses to objections to miracles, they cannot be ruled out a priori, that is, without any examination. We do need to examine the evidence. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. Send us an email here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is a regular guest, founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's authored the book Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Todd.
I have not got a chance to get your reaction to the Obama administration's refusal to defend the Defense of Marriage Act.
Well, the mask is off, isn't it? You know, I mean, all this time he's been saying, oh, yeah, I support traditional marriage, blah, blah, blah. And now he's required by the law, he's required by his constitutional oath to defend the duly enacted laws of the country, and he's not going to defend this law. So, I mean, it's pretty clear that his connection to the gay lobby is more important to him than his connection, for instance, to his other constituents, such as the African American community itself, you know, which completely opposes him on this point. So it's pretty clear who he thinks is his primary constituent here, isn't it?
We're not lawyers. We're not constitutional lawyers. But do you think this spells the end for DOMA?
Well, you know what? I don't know what it means in that sense. You know, what's likely to happen next? You know, is somebody else going to be given the right to actually defend it? In a way, that could be a good thing. See, if somebody else is allowed to defend it, that would be good because then there would be a wholehearted defense of DOMA in the courts, which would be better than the half-hearted, lame defense that the Justice Department has so far been giving to DOMA. So, it could turn out to be a blessing in disguise. Now, whether that will happen or not, I don't know. But, you know, the other thing that's, I think, important for your listeners to understand is that, as you and I have said many times on this program, the push for gay marriage depends largely on people going away and not opposing them. You know, they keep saying, oh, this is the march of history. You guys are on the wrong side of history. Just give up. You know, it's all over. It's all settled. Well, you know, if no one defends traditional marriage, well, then it is kind of over, isn't it? You know, and so here's the situation. where traditional marriage needs somebody to defend it, and the way to kill traditional marriage is to stop defending it. So the Obama administration, in a sense, has proven that aspect of what we've been saying, which I think, as far as I'm concerned, induces me to redouble my efforts all the more to not leave the playing field and to continue speaking out on this issue.
Well, so make the case with about a minute here. Why should this administration, any administration for that matter, continue to defend the law, DOMA?
Well, DOMA is important because it's the only thing that really allows the federal system to continue working, even for the time being. In other words, what DOMA says is that a state of Missouri, for example, can have a law that says marriage is a man and a woman in the state of Missouri, and we're not required to recognize marriages solemnized in Iowa that say that say something different. And so, to say we're not going to have DOMA, but oh gee, we want the states to decide, you know, that's a complete sham. There really is no way that any conservative case for same-sex marriage people used to be making, that's completely gone. You know, the idea that we should just let the states do whatever they want and it'll all be great, you know, we don't need a federal marriage amendment, for example, that is no longer possible to say that. Without DOMA, the states can't experiment, because without DOMA, you know, the people in Iowa can just spread same-sex marriage all over the country, you know, which is exactly what they intend to do. So it really does matter whether DOMA remains in place or not. That actually is quite significant.
We have been excluded because we have moral opinions based on our faith. And we feel sidelined because we are Christians with normal, mainstream Christian views on sexual ethics. We have been told by the Equality and Human Rights Commission that our moral views may infect a child. We are prepared to love and accept any child. All we were not willing to do was to tell a small child that the practice of homosexuality was a good thing.
That's Eunice Johns speaking for herself and her husband, a couple in Great Britain that has been refused a role as foster parents because of their view on homosexuality, the refusal to say that it's an acceptable lifestyle. What's your initial reaction to this story, Jen?
Well, my initial reaction to it is that once again, the mask is off of the gay lobby. You know, here in the U.S., we've been constantly told, oh gosh, we have to let gay and lesbian couples be foster parents and adoptive parents, because there are so many children who need foster care and who need adoption that it's just mean and despicable to exclude anybody prima facie just because they're gay. And we really have to open up the pool of potential foster parents to more people. Well, you know, I predicted for some time that this would be the end, that we would end up, is that we're not just including the very small number of gay and lesbian couples. We are excluding people who disapprove of homosexuality, most particularly Christians. And so if you start excluding Christians from foster care, you've now excluded a much bigger set of prospective foster parents by doing that than you have included by allowing gays to be foster parents. So it's perfectly clear now, Todd, that this issue of whether gays and lesbians should be allowed to be foster parents never, ever had anything to do with increasing the number of people that could take care of kids. That was never the issue. The issue is now, and always has been, that the gay lobby and the sex radicals generally want to create a new moral universe. And in order to create their new moral universe, the old moral universe has to be discarded, pushed aside, gotten rid of somehow or another. And that's exactly what's going on here in the UK. They're just further along that path than we are. And so this is a cautionary tale for everybody in the U.S. Do not be fooled by these arguments that what we're really trying to do is make more foster parents available. That has nothing to do with what's going on here.
Well, picking up on your observation there, it seems to go far beyond the kind of laissez-faire sexuality that
yes.
We see so prominent in the gay rights movement here. Just let us be, live and let live. Now it seems as though it's not live and let live. There is one orthodoxy, a new orthodoxy, you might say, that is, at least in the case of Great Britain, now being institutionalized in the foster care system.
Well, that's exactly the point, Todd. And if you go back through the whole of the sexual revolution, you will see that that has been the point all along. You know, are we going to allow married couples to use contraception? Oh, of course, we must allow married couples to do whatever they choose to do. But choice was never enough for the sex radicals. It was never enough just to allow married couples to use contraception. The real point was to promote contraception and the lifestyle that that makes possible. And now, of course, we're promoting it all the way into grade school. We're promoting, you know, we've been on the show and talking about condoms for first graders kind of thing. And the same thing is going on here. It's not enough to just say we're going to allow same-sex couples to just live their lives peacefully behind their white picket fence and be like everybody else and just fit in and it's all going to be great. That's not really what's at stake here at all. However appealing that might be, and however much you might love your gay nephew who is trying to live that way with his partner, I think a lot of the white picket fence gays and lesbians who live in this country who really do think that, I think they're being used as front men, so to speak. Right? They're providing cover for the much more radical agenda, which, as you say, is not really a laissez-faire agenda at all, but is in fact an agenda that says the right way to be a sexual being. There is a right way to be a sexual being in our country, in our culture, and if you don't conform to that way of thinking about human sexuality, we're going to marginalize you in every way possible. And this is just the tip of an iceberg here, that a Christian couple should be told that their views on homosexuality make them unfit as foster parents. You know, I mean, there are any number of ways they could have created an exception that would allow this couple to serve the children of their district. There are any number of ways that they could have resolved this, but they chose not to because those anti-discrimination statutes are more important to be applied to sexual orientation than to religion. And that really is what's at stake here, Todd.
Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. We can check out the website for the Ruth Institute and for Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Thanks, Jen.
Thanks, Todd.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most radio talk shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salary, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. The address? LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend on you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Mondays, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.